Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan. I have Mikey and John joining me to discuss Friday night's matchup against the Indiana Hoosiers in Bloomington. First Big Ten game of the season. Indiana coming in. I think they've lost. They ended last year with 8 straight losses. They didn't win a single conference game last year. So is Illinois going to make that a 9th straight loss for the Hoosiers? Mikey, I know it's your it's the game you have circled on your calendar, as we mentioned in the preview. So to you, it's kind of a big statement game, maybe a must win early.
I was just going to say that.
Must win, can't lose.
Must win. It really is, because, you know, first road game against a Big Ten opponent nonetheless, Friday night, you know, nationally televised. It's going to be a big game, and Indiana's playing for a lot too, Dan. As you just mentioned, they didn't win a single conference game last year. In comes Illinois, a team that's, you know, been in the bottom half of the Big Ten for the last 15 plus years. It's realistically one where they're really thinking that, you know, they can go win this game, you know, start their season off 1-0 and turn around the program that, you know, 2 years ago nearly beat Ohio State. So big game for Indiana, even bigger game for Illinois, because this game would really shape our season, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's funny to like look at it in terms of, you know, the outside research that I've done and draw the similarities that Indiana this year has to like the Lovie Smith season going into 2019. Tom Allen's taking over the play calling again. You know, they brought in a transfer quarterback from a Power 5 school. They brought in a ton of transfers. Some of that is because last year was supposed to be the year. They were picked, like, they, people don't realize, like, them going 2-10 was terrible because they were the dark horse to possibly unseat Ohio State. Like, oh, this team could be squirrely. And they just absolutely tanked that. And I like, this was supposed to be like, they were, that was supposed to be like the end of the crescendo of the 2020 season where they really surprised, and then they come out and they prove that they actually had it in 2021, and they didn't. And it's just funny because like now they are like looking like kind of we did, and it's like, okay, that's a lot of unproven things. And yeah, that team got to 6 wins, but I mean, there's still enough there where I don't know if they get to 6 wins, but it's just, it's funny to draw the similarities and see kind of what they're trying to do in terms of stopping the gap with a lot of Power 5 transfers. Like, I think they rated like Ole Miss a bunch and North Carolina, I think too, but just like a bunch of guys that maybe they'll be like Josh Amaterbebe, or maybe they'll be like, I don't know, not to Trayvon Sidney was just like hurt a bunch, but maybe it could be like that. So I don't know. I'm very interested to see how this Indiana season goes.
They're quite the unknown, especially even at the quarterback position. I know Tom Allen said last week he decided on who the quarterback was, but they're keeping it under wraps until they run out there on for warmups or for the first series on Friday night. And we don't know a whole lot about this Indiana team, but you know, to your point, it's like they're a team that, I don't even know what I'm going to say.
They were bad.
They were bad.
Did they really get better? Like, they lost a bunch of guys from a bad team. Did they really upgrade from those guys who were on a bad team? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, what they hired, you know, 4 or 5 new coaches, new coordinators. So it's going to be a different team than we saw last year, X's and O's wise. But, you know, Dan, as you just mentioned, this similar to our Wyoming preview, you know, it's tough to know much about a team until you see them play. So I'm really looking forward to it. And it's an exciting game. I think it should be for a lot of Big Ten fans, you know, not just the two schools playing, because it really is two programs that, you know, known as basketball schools. Indiana had that fluke season a couple of years ago. So really two programs that need this win. And, you know, it's a toss up for who could get that win. But us having played a week earlier, I think is going to bode well in the end. And I'll save my prediction, but
he's predicting a loss for the first time. No, I'm kidding.
To your point, Mikey, friendly reminder to those of you listening, Illinois officially named their football stadium Memorial Stadium in 1923. Indiana did the same in 1960. And Illinois named the basketball arena Assembly Hall in 1963, and IU followed in 1971. So, copycat university, They want to be like us. We'll see if they can play like us.
Mickey Mouse school.
Yeah,
Mikey, but you did touch on on the new coaches. Here's one thing I'll plant my flag, and I planted my flag a couple years ago that Spencer Petras, not good. I'm planting another flag. Walt Bell, actually trash. Like his time at UMass, they were terrible.
What was
he
his record?
He took a pay cut. What?
What was his record at UMass? Wasn't like 2-23 or something?
It might have been 0 and a million. And all I know is that they were one of the worst. They were, I don't even know if there was 131 Power Five teams when he, but whatever. He was in the 120s in terms of where they were at and in terms of FBS schools. And then but he like took a pay cut to go there. Like he was the FSU offensive coordinator, and they were like, oh yeah, look, he like got it. But he wasn't that great at FSU either. And then he takes a pay cut to go be the head coach and be one of the worst. Maybe him like doing the whole thing where, but even that, like it kind of reads, not going to lie, like Tony Petersen last year, like, yeah, you can maybe see that a switch in scenarios and a new environment and setting and culture could maybe change his career. But, and yeah, he's not as old as Tony Petersen, but I just don't see it. Like, I'm not saying that they can't surprise us because that unknown still could play out like Nebraska did last year where, you know, we came in and surprised them a little bit on offense, but I don't know. Like, I just don't see it.
I don't know what to expect from their new OC. I mean, Walt Bell, like you said, didn't have much success previous stop. So like, is he going to find success at IU in his first year there, you know, running this new offense? I don't know. They're probably going to throw the ball quite a bit and spread us out and try to go up tempo. And you know, Ryan Walters' defense has been great since pretty much the second half of last year. So I don't have too much concern, especially when you talk about, you know, the quarterback situation at IU and not necessarily having a guy. So it's hard to say what we're going to see, but I'm not all that scared to your point, John.
Yeah. I just don't know, like, especially with the confidence that I have in Coach Walters, like, if it doesn't really matter what kind of offense they run, and also that offense necessarily isn't returning. Like, they had an objectively like decent offensive line in their overperforming year of 2020, and then it got aggressively bad last year.
Very
with
bad.
Like, yeah, and they're returning three guys from that, which you could say, okay, they're keeping continuity. So maybe it's like how Northwestern didn't have a good line last year, and then, you know, last week they went out and they performed pretty well, so maybe that helps them. But I don't know if like improving upon, like, it's kind of what we were just saying with the whole, like, they lost a lot of dudes off the team that was not that great and they're trying to replace them. But does that mean that they're then going to be better? Like, I don't know, but it's one of those where I'm not necessarily concerned whether they try to go power running or they spread us out. And the last thing I'll say about Walt Bell is, like, it's weird to me because Tom Allen is like he's taking over defensive play calling abilities. Like, he's just giving the entire offense to Walt Bell. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know if you should really be doing it. Like, if it was an offensive, like, if Lane Kiffin took him under his wing or Sark or something, like, hey, you come be my OC, but like, it's still my show, but you can learn how to run your show, like my show, then I'd be like, okay, maybe he'll be a good OC. Here, I'm like, I don't know if you should be giving him the keys to the car, but that's just me.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see, you know, obviously what happens on Friday. Clearly a lot of unknowns with this team. And, you know, it's just going to come down to, in my opinion, Illinois having that, you know, game under their belt. And I keep harping on that because, you know, it is important, especially early on in the season, you know, Nebraska, Indiana's, you know, they're going to take the first, you know, quarter, maybe two, to get some of those wrinkles out that Illinois was already, you know, able to get out and correct with the, you know, so-called tune-up game against Wyoming. And I don't think that Illinois has its identity, right? So I don't think it gives IU much of an advantage having, you know, three quarters of the starters tape to prep for this game.
Mike, you mentioned the identity. I was doing a little brainstorming about the coverage and the D-backs room and what we want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
And we can determine as a group here if we think they've earned a nickname yet, or we can hold off on it. But one idea I was kicking around, the shadow realm. Think about a shadow just follows you everywhere.
Shadow realm.
Or I was trying to think of something like handcuffs. I don't know, like the cuff gang or something, where you just
the torture chamber.
You got the wide receivers in handcuffs all game.
Yeah.
Just brainstorming.
I'm kind of liking the handcuff play because they do that a lot. I know Lil Spoon does. He always, whenever he locks somebody up, and I love it. I've said that many times. I love that swagger that all those guys play with in the secondary. And Dan, you mentioned Indiana, you know, potentially spreading us out, you know, trying to get our defense off balance. Our, you know, strength is in the secondary. So I, you know, I hope because
checkmate. You know,
right. Exactly. So I have all the confidence in the world in our secondary. And, you know, there's going to be times where, you know, you get beat on a play that, you know, that happens. The, you know, Jalen Ramsey gets beat for touchdowns. So that wouldn't worry me too much. But in the end, I think our, you know, secondary would win the battles more than they would lose. And ultimately, you know, that's what it's about because that's what's going to get you the win.
Yeah, I think both teams' defenses are strong in the defensive back room especially. I think it's kind of the same thing where, you know, both teams are fairly good in the front seven, but a little bit lack of depth or unproven talent, mainly more on the IU side. But some of the linebacker play that we saw last week, we hope is just an anomaly. I think, you know, not to, you know, just oversimplify it, but I think whichever offensive line goes out and performs better is, and that's like no duh, John, like whatever O-line is good, that team usually wins. But both O-lines are so suspect, in my opinion, in the sense of like you have three new starters on U of I's team, like still trying to gel. And yeah, those were meaningful reps that they got in the game. But I don't know if that's just going to be like, okay, now everything is magically taken care of. So can they continue to gel? Can they be a more cohesive unit? That would be great. And they'll probably win if they are. But then when you look at IU's O-line, like we documented how bad they were last year. Will they get a little bit better because they had three returning guys, even though they were not necessarily the greatest? I don't know. If, you know, the law firm can take care of them and you dial up some more exotic blitzes to generate some havoc and pressure against. Oh, yeah. We haven't even talked about the quarterbacks because I'm not scared of either guy. So you generate some pressure against them and Connor Bazelak's just going to check it down to like the running back who's 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage all day, baby. I don't care. So it's just going to come down to which O-line can move, you know, the other's defensive line. And that's going to be, you know, my key to the game in terms of like a general concept.
Aside from the obvious injury to Josh McCray, who might be out a few weeks here, are there any personnel changes you'd expect or would consider on the Illinois side?
It's a good question, Dan.
Do you keep the O-line the same?
I was going to say.
Linebacker core stay the same? It was just one game. Is there a reason to overreact?
No. I would assume that they, you know, are going to stick with it. But a potential shakeup could be on the offensive line. I know Jordan Slaughter, he played when he was in, he played tough. He played hard. So he's a guy who will probably get some more snaps. But, you know, in terms of bumping him up, I don't think that would happen yet. Because it has only been one game, but other than that, you know, it was a solid win against Wyoming. You know, not many complaints, not many guys that stood out in a bad way. So I think we'll roll with the same lineup, but you'll just see some guys get some more snaps.
Yeah, I think Luke Ford is probably the most obvious candidate was that an injury thing that had him, you know, kind of behind the eight ball week zero, sorry. But is that like the reason and he kind of emerges now as maybe the number one or number two tight end and not as the number three guy? That's probably it. I would love to see Reggie Love get the number two carries, to be quite honest, because ever since Lash, I think I would have to go back. I mean, as a guy who watched every single offensive snap, you'd think I would remember, but maybe I know he fumbled the one time, but maybe they don't like his potential pass protection ability. And maybe that's why they'd go with Chase Hayden over him. But I just think the way he runs, it's so patient. You know, he seems to always be falling forward, getting extra yards. So I would love to see him as the number two back to Chase Brown. On defense, I think it kind of comes down to like, I think the staff is kind of doing an experiment of whose utility is better. Is it Isaac Darkangelo's or is it Kendall Smith's? Like, do they want to run with three linebackers or do they want to run with five DBs? And maybe if there's another DB or another linebacker even who emerges, or maybe they just say, bump it. Like we're going to go with, you know, three down linemen and two outside backers, and then you can run, you know, a four and four DBs and two inside backers. So I'm curious to see kind of how that shakes out, but I don't necessarily think anything on the defensive side is going to be wild in terms of like, oh, this guy is getting a lot more snaps. Maybe, you know, there's a surprise here or there of a guy who gets some snaps, but not like a lot more. But I don't know. What about you, Danny?
My only thought would be like what Mikey said, maybe an O-line shakeup. And I don't know necessarily if you make a change to the starters, maybe you just get a few more reps to a guy like Jordan Slaughter during the game and just kind of work him in a little bit more and see how that plays out over the course of the game. And, you know, possibly at linebacker too, you start getting a few different guys some additional reps and just slowly work them in. But I don't know that you need to necessarily shake things up, you know, completely going into this game.
Yeah, I mean, unless, you know, there's a clear weakness on the offensive line, you know, there's no reason to switch it up for game two. I don't feel like anybody played, you know, that bad to get replaced. But yeah, Dan, you and I both mentioned Jordan Slaughter as a guy to look out for. So we'll be keeping our eyes on him.
On that front, do we want to get into our picks of the week?
Yeah, let's do
it. Yeah, Mikey, you go first, right?
I'll kick it off because last week, John.
I'm on suspension.
Yeah. I am going to go with, I was thinking hard about this. I was going to go with Isaiah Williams just because last week I thought he was going to have more production than he did. I mean, he did have seven catches, which is a lot. But to me, that was like the easy player to pick. So I'm going to go with Pat Bryant.
I like that.
Love it.
It could be a potential breakout game for him. You know, we saw some flashes last weekend, you know, he had a touchdown. So look for him to get more involved. And in terms of his specific stat.
Here we go. It's time. Mikey's specific stat of the week. It's time for Mikey's specific stat of the week.
This might throw everybody off, but in terms of the full line, I don't have one, but I will say he will have a touchdown longer than 45 yards.
There it is.
Wow.
Oddly specific per usual.
That is, I mean, so specific.
I don't know. I don't know the catches, yet total yards, but he will have one deep touchdown.
All right.
I can't wait for
it here first.
Yeah, I can't wait for the end of half bomb heave, yeah, where it's just like, oh yeah, Pat Bryant came down with it, like what happened, yeah, last week, and it's just like Mikey's specific stat of the week comes through, even though it wasn't like this like deep ball, like run after the catch, it's just a heave.
Also, that catch he had last week on the sideline that was not called a catch, they should have reviewed
totally
that, right?
A catch.
I mean, they freeze framed it. He was there for at least a couple frames with the ball in his hand and his foot on the ground, but they did not decide to review that. But that would have been another tick in the reception and some more yards tacked on for him last week to pad the stats. All right, John, you ready for your pick of the week?
Yeah, so I'm taking – oh, just kidding. I'm going to go with Seth Coleman. I think I just documented pretty extensively in this podcast how I do not necessarily love IU's O-line. And so I think they're going to get, you know, I alluded to this in the recap, but I think they're going to get creative with like a guy like CJ Hart, you know, move him around, deploy him. And that's going to open up a lot more opportunities for a guy like Seth Coleman, who I think he just needs, it's kind of like what happened to Isaiah Gay last year, where he just needs like a game or two to break, like to quote unquote break out. And then like, really start his ascension into being like the player that I think most fans think he can be. And I think he can get started this week. And actually he can probably parlay it. It's not to give away the secret, but then next week too, because Virginia's O-line and they're returning no starters on that O-line. So I think he can, you know, he can lick his chops and maybe, you know, pin his ears back and really get after the quarterback and take care. I'll go with 1.5 sacks and a batted pass.
Ooh,
I like that. I'm on a similar wave as you because I was thinking D-line. I too, Mikey, was thinking Isaiah Williams, first of all. But
me too.
I was like, that is kind of low-hanging fruit. I feel like he could have just a monster game and go for 150-plus. But because you already, you know, said that's low-hanging fruit, I'm not going to take him. I'm going to take someone else, like John said, on the defensive line. Johnny Newton is my guy for this week. I don't think he played particularly well last week, but we know what he's capable of. And, you know, as John mentioned, IU's offensive line, especially the interior offensive line, is pretty suspect. So I think he can get after it this week. And I'll say one sack and maybe add another tackle for loss for him.
Like it. You heard it here first.
I love that. Wow. We're like, just like, I feel like Chase Brown and Isaiah are going to be like the pander picks, like whoever wants to win the poll on Saturday morning. It's like whichever one of us, you know, is like, oh, I can't believe I'm going out on a limb and picking Isaiah Williams to have a good game. But I think we can all agree that both those guys are primed for, you know, especially Mikey, like you said, Isaiah last week, he had, you know, two big plays called back because of penalties. Yeah. And like, he was still productive by ways of his receptions, but I think he can definitely tack on some more yards.
I was going to say, we could pretty easily pick Chase Brown or Isaiah Williams every single week. And like, I don't think anyone would, no one would complain. Lil Spoon or Quan. Like,
yeah.
So I feel like you got to kind of choose those B tier players, then not your captains or your premier players. And then we keep it a little more fair, but every now and again, you probably got to mix in a star, you know?
Yeah.
True.
All right. We want to hop to game predictions.
See.
Let's do it. I'll make it quick because we all know Illinois is going to win. I'm going
to
say,
wait, Mikey, let me pause you first just to say Illinois is a 3-point underdog. When I last checked, the total is 46. So we're talking implied 24.5 to 21.5 Indiana victory, according to Vegas, just to set the stage.
I thought I saw on ESPN earlier that the line moved to 1.5.
Okay. That could be.
Let me check.
I thought that's what the thing said on, I was watching ESPN earlier.
Johnny Vegas. Going to look it up.
But lines don't matter in my brain.
Heart does.
I'm going Illinois coming out on top. We're going to take the crown in Bloomington by a score of 31-17.
Okay. So you see points.
Points. Yeah. There we go.
Offense.
I want points. We need points. I'm sick of last year we didn't score 20 points in like, you know, 90% of our games or something. But, you know, everyone loves offense.
Make it come true.
I'm hoping that BLJ can continue with the good game plan like he had last week.
Yeah, if he keeps calling the good plays, then we're going to be really happy about this year's offensive production. I'm not quite as optimistic because I think both in terms of like the offensive production, just because I think both of these coaches, you know, they want to slow the game down. They're both, I mean, obviously Bielema, he's known for his offensive line abilities, but he was a defensive lineman. So it's like Tom Allen's a defensive, he's calling the defensive plays. I think they're going to try and, you know, really play that complementary football. Both teams, you know, feeling each other out because it's the Big Ten opener for each. So I'm going to go Illinois 20, Indiana 17. I just feel like, you know, they're going to, like I said, they're going to dial up enough on defense, get a little exotic, go crazy, cause a little havoc. And then on offense, they'll probably show a little bit more than last week, but they're also very content with just taking what the defense is giving them and dinking and dunking their way down the field, whether it be through running or passing. I'm good with either, because as long as you're staying ahead of the sticks and you're churning that clock, that's ideal for a team like this that might not have the talent that, you know, upper echelon Big Ten teams have. So I'm very fine with them, you know, winning a slugfest and taking care of business.
You guys are going to have to walk through my logic here with me on my game prediction. So here's what I'm thinking. Tom Fornelli, SP Plus like predictions here have it pretty much as a pick'em game, right? So that's kind of where I'm starting as my baseline. Then, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Indiana spent $2 million to improve their LED lights. They got brand new LED lights for the game. Night game in Indiana. So I'm thinking that adds 3 points in Indiana's favor at least, right? But
yeah, not to cut you off, but are they the lights that can like change colors and flash?
They're going to be, just based off the company that provided them, but they didn't specifically say if they can do it, but they said you'll be able to see it on TV. So I think they're going to be the ones that, you can dim down and do the crazy colors with. So in my opinion, that's 3 points in Indiana's favor.
Wow.
It is a Friday night game, so there's not going to be any high schoolers or high school families, you know, at the game. So swing that back to a 3-point advantage for Illinois. So now we're break even again. But night game, 8 p.m. Eastern. It's only 7 p.m. Central for Illinois, so I think that's a 3-point advantage back in Illinois' favor. I'm going 17-14, Illinois to win by 3.
I love it. I love it.
I followed all that, so that makes sense. Great job walking us through it.
No, that made complete sense. I understood you.
I mean, I don't know if I quite understand the math behind the numbers, but I understood where you're coming from. Just 3 points here, 3 points there, 3 points everywhere.
3-point win, 17-14 Illinois.
Also, two things. One, I checked, and Mikey, you're right. At least what I'm seeing is the updated spread is IU minus 2. So it's come down. I know that it was up to like IU minus 4.5 or 5 before the Wyoming game, and now it's come down considerably. And then number two, and it bears repeating, if anyone has a couple minutes of time on their hand before the game, watch the Connor Bazelak highlights from the Missouri versus Kentucky game last year. It is the funniest thing in the world because his average depth of target is potentially at the line of scrimmage. He was checking down everything, even like his throws that weren't to the running back out of the backfield were like little hitches. He had a bunch of screens. He was handing the ball off. Like, yeah, if you look at his stat line, he put up like 300 plus yards and 4 touchdowns. And you'd be like, wow, this kid might actually be good. I'm not fooled. You will not fool me, Connor Bazelak. I'm not buying the stock.
John, you might have just jinxed us.
I don't really think it's necessarily a jinx. I'm just kind of like informing the people out there that they should just go watch and like use your own eyeballs. Don't just look at the stat line and be like, wow, he led them to 4 touchdowns and 300 plus passing yards against a fairly good Kentucky team last year. Like, wow, this guy might actually be good. No, I'm not saying he's bad. He's very risk averse and he'll play a safe game, but I'm just not scared going up against a Ryan Walters coach defense that he's going to go out there and light the world on fire. I think he had like 30 or 40 some pass attempts. And I think like only like a handful of them were beyond 10 or 15 yards in terms of the depth of target. So I just don't know if he's necessarily going to be that X factor that can take a team that, like we said, was bad last year, is trying to replace a lot. First game with all these pieces trying to, make something happen. And then I don't know if he's the guy to ultimately lead them to the promised land for game one, but we'll see.
As we mentioned, Mikey, you're circle the calendar game. I feel like, we touched on this a little bit, but this game, in my opinion, determines almost everything about your season, right? If you start 2-0, you're off to the races and you're starting to think, okay, 4-0 is possible. If you lose this game, I think you reset expectations and everyone comes down to earth or gets knocked off their pedestal a little bit, and things are completely different and the tone changes around the program. So there's a lot to play for on Friday night.
Yeah, and I just think we start 2-0, that Virginia game, the Illinois is going to do whatever they can to try to sell that out, like North Carolina a couple of years ago.
Oh yeah.
It'll be probably one of the biggest games in Memorial Stadium. And, for as long as, I can remember, it would be a very good atmosphere and just a great day for football, and one where the field pass team might have to plan a trip out there and watch the boys.
Very well possible.
But we got to take care of business.
Yep.
Friday first. Friday, short week for the boys, important. Short week for us. But let's go out there and take care of business.
I was going to say, if we wake up 2-0 on Saturday morning before most other teams have even played a football game, that's a pretty good feeling.
Wow. That's a good point, Dan.
Last thing. Danny, do we have a random Google fact of the week?
I did do a little bit of research. This one's relatively basic because I feel like people ask this question a lot, but the question I Googled, what is a Hoosier? Do you guys have any idea?
I just know that that's what they call people from Indiana. I don't know what like the backstory is behind it, but as my father is a Hoosier, so I'm like, I know that. Well, not he was born in Indiana, is what I'm saying. He's not, he didn't go to IU.
All right.
You have half tainted blood.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm like, what was it, Brady Quinn or AJ Hawk? I think it's Brady Quinn's sister, AJ Hawk's wife, when like Ohio State and Notre Dame played and she was like wearing the half jersey. No, that's not me at all. No. Are you kidding me?
No. You are correct. That is what it's evolved into. That's what most people know a Hoosier to be now, just a person from Indiana. So we're playing the Indiana people from Indiana. But originally, I think it was first in text in a poem called The Hoosier's Nest. But it was originally written as Hoosier, Hoosher, which that came from, that was traced back to a word hooser, which is Hoozer, which a who is some, is just a hill or a high place. So like people from the Highlands were known as Hoosiers. I think they said the people from Cumberland, England, the immigrants settled in the southern mountains. And then when they moved to southern Indiana, they were called the Hoosiers. Hoosiers. And the Hoosiers then evolved into Hoosiers. So we're talking about the Hilltoppers pretty much here.
Well, and Virginia next week, they're like, their phrase is "Let's go Hoos." So maybe there's some integration with that too. So we're just getting all the fun facts this week.
All the Hoos down in Whoville.
I like that, Dan. That's a good.
That was a great fun fact. I love this segment. Learn something new every day.
Yeah. So Hoosier's now synonymous just with a person from Indiana, just as a Yankee is, you know, what foreigners will call Americans, kind of a similar term. So there's your Danny's deep dives.
Ooh, I like that.
You like that one?
Need another soundboard. Need another soundboard clip.
I love it.
All right. That will wrap up this episode. Everyone tune in to FS1. That's Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. Illinois taking on the Indiana Hoosiers down in Bloomington. Thanks for listening to this episode. We appreciate you guys following along. You can check us out on social media at The Field Pass. Go Illini.